Here we go.
Okay, can everyone see my screen?
Yes.
Yep.
Perfect. Sorry about the delay, folks. There was a bit of technical difficulties, but without further ado, would you? I just want to point out the recording is being, sorry, the session is being recorded, and I will hand it over to Ms. Lori Hack, our executive director, to
Great,
start.
thank you, Brian. Yeah, again, apologies. Every once in a while, you try to do great security things, then you find out that the 2FA kind of bites you where you don't want to get bitten. So I apologize for getting started. So we have a really wonderful set of presentations for you this evening. At least I think they're pretty great. So we have Regina Majerovsky from the University of Tasmania, who's going to be talking to us about what the University of Tasmania has been doing with ORCID. She has a really a wonderful story. They've done a huge amount of work at Tasmania, not just with ORCID, but with other persistent identifiers. So this is a great story to start off for research managers. I'll be talking a bit about ORCID and how ORCID plays with other persistent identifiers. And then Jamie McKee is going to be bringing up the end of this. He's from Altum. We lost the slides, Brian. He's going to be talking about how his company, Altum, has been working with ORCID inside of a grant management platform. This is a really wonderful way, I think, to show how different organizations, systems, and companies can be working together to help support the sharing of information across sectors, across countries, in a way that respects the privacy and control of individuals in managing the sharing of their information, but also ensures that the way the information is shared manages and maintains the structure and provenance of the information itself. So I'm really, really pleased to turn this over to Regina to start her presentation, and I look forward to her talk. So Regina, over to you.
Thanks very much. And hello, everyone. Hope you can hear me okay. I'm just assuming that you guys are going to progress the slides. I hope that's correct. And if not, tell me somehow. Thanks. So we'll just go to my first slide then. And I just basically want to tell you a story today about the University of Tasmania's adoption of ORCID. And I'll start by acknowledging my co-author, Jason Hoffman, because when this all kicked off in 2016, I wasn't actually here, so I can't claim any credit at all for the activity and the success of the project. But Jason certainly was and was quite heavily involved. So I'll go to my next slide and I'll just tell you a little bit about the University of Tasmania to start with. And the first thing is we're not actually down in Antarctica. That arrow has shifted. we sit on the bottom of Australia there. We're a fairly old uni, established in 1890. We are fairly research intensive, so we have about 1,150 staff with a research function, so academic staff. Our ranking, we tend to rank in the various global rankings around 300 in the world. And we describe ourselves and have an objective of being place-based but globally connected. So basically, we're the only university in Tasmania. And so we see ourselves as having quite an important role in servicing Tasmania and connecting our researchers and I guess progressing Tasmania through our international connections. And I'll skip to the next slide. We like to burn stuff as well, as it turns out, but we won't go there. So we're uniquely placed. Tasmania's 133rd of the size of the US. We sit about 240 kilometres off the coast of mainland Australia, in a country that's ranked 192nd in the world for population. So I think basically what you can say is we're remote. And so we see this quite important for our researchers to use whatever means possible to connect their research with other researchers and to improve uptake of that research. And we think ORCID is a really important way, or using persistent identifiers is a really important way of achieving that. One of many, but quite an important one. So in 2016, and I'll go to the next slide, we launched a campaign with an objective, which was to have 100% of our researchers with an ORCID ID. And so today I want to tell you a little bit about what we did and whether we achieved our objective. A couple of reasons for that, things that happened around 2016, where we saw joint statements from the ARC and NHMRC encouraging researchers to have ORCIDs. We had a joint statement around that time from Universities Australia, Australian Research Managers Society, and the Council of Australian University Librarians, all releasing a joint statement around the principle to adopt ORCIDs. And with very little effort, we also could identify that there are a lot of countries picking up ORCIDs, including some of our major funders. So there were some very clear reasons to us for why ORCIDs were the way to go, and that we really wanted to encourage our researchers to use them. So the talk today, I'm going to talk about a couple of things. One, I'm actually going to start in the middle of this set of dot points by talking about the rollout, and then I'm going to talk a bit about the systems we've actually integrated with ORCID, and what we're doing now, and what we plan to do in the future. So we'll go to the next slide, just a quick one, and doesn't reflect our University of Tasmania researchers at all, but part of the institutional rollout was raising the profile as ORCIDs as an option for researchers, and I'll go to the next slide. So when we started this campaign, there had already been a couple of years of the library promoting ORCIDs, so we were in a reasonably good place to start with. We had about 50% of our researchers with ORCID IDs. Our DVCR decided to mandate ORCID IDs for researchers, and then she basically put the funds behind a campaign to make that happen. And this campaign was a joint effort. So the research division where I sit, in the research performance analysis unit, connected with the library, connected with our information technology services to really make this happen. There was a two-phased approach. So I'll just talk very briefly about phase one because basically it was a failure. And that was a kind of more indirect approach to researchers. So we advertised ORCIDs through Research Week, and we organised drop-in sessions. We were targeting about half of our, so remember we had about 1,000 researchers and we had 50% uptake. So we, you know, there were 500 researchers on our list, hit list. We got 7 people turning up for those in drop-in sessions. So that didn't work for us at all. So we launched into phase two, which was a more direct campaign. And I'll go to the next slide here. And a key feature of that campaign was all about the positives of using an ORCID, of which there are many, and you'll probably hear a few along the way, but as I mentioned to us, there were those clear messages coming from our funding bodies. There was the importance of, having an accurate record of what each researcher's outputs were, and having that available to the world. So phase two was a much more direct campaign where we had research outputs officers, so our publications officers knocking on doors. There were emails, there were mail outs of various forms, and there was quite a lot of support around that. And to cut to the chase, we ended up after 2 months of that kind of direct campaigning with an uptake of around 94% of our researchers. So we had some real success there. And I'll talk about some of the things we did. First of all, on the next slide was there were a lot of comms. So this, for example, is just a set of instructions around an integration point we have with our publication system. So really clear step-by-step instructions on how to obtain their ORCID and then how to update their profile at the click of a button from our research management database. And I'll go to the next slide too. We use things like, you know, email signatures and that kind of thing. But it was the real success of it was we put a deadline on it, as you'll see there, 30th of November 2016, and it was that real knocking on doors, approaching individual researchers and explaining to them why ORCIDs were important and how to get one. Not everyone loved us, and the next slide gives you some of the feedback we received. So some loved it, some got it straight away. Others seemed like a bit too much work, or they had another identifier. But most of these, you know, we could cover with some of the things I've already talked about from the campaign. So I'll flick to the next slide, which just shows you what the uptake looked like. This is actually integrated users. I'm assuming here this is where they've actually used our integration with our publications collection, and you can see in that 2016 campaign period there was a very rapid rise in our usage and of ORCIDs, and it's been pretty steady there. That's a cumulative one, so it's a bit cheeky because obviously it's not going to show where our percentage, our 94% might have drifted, but on the next slide it shows you this is what we actually tracked and continue to track, which is our percentage of research staff. Oh, we just went to one too many there. Yep. Our percentage of research staff with an ORCID, and we continue to monitor this, and we did have a bit of activity before this talk, so I'd be able to say that we're at 90% still, but it had actually drifted to 85%. So we're maintaining to keep that percentage up very high, not the 94% we had at the end of the campaign, but I think still quite good for the number of researchers we're looking at here. Obviously a key point there is you do need to actually continue to remind new researchers coming on board, for example, about ORCIDs, otherwise these things will actually slide. Yeah. A couple of little fun facts here. So we have over 3,000 ORCID affiliations with the University of Tasmania, and apparently we're ranked number 3 globally for the number of funding records, which in the ORCID Global Registry, which I think basically is a reflection of the fact that our publications and funding database are completely integrated. So while we were adding that integration point for publications, we added funding, and researchers are doing it all from the one place. Yeah. So I want to talk about some of the integrations we've built and are continuing to develop in the last couple of minutes I've got, because I think this helps us to keep the level of users up. So I'll just go to the next slide and we'll go through some of those. So the first one's the one I've already mentioned previously. We have an access portal for researchers to tap into, do things like upload their publications or review the status of their funding applications, that kind of thing. Within that, personally my team, Ian Mitchell, built an ORCID integration. So researchers could go to that location, it would link through to ORCID to create an ORCID. They could then authorise for our system to push data to their ORCID profile, and then they've got the option of doing either their publication or funding records. And that's become quite handy with the ARC now moving to allowing researchers to update their their publication lists for applications using ORCID. So we have that nice integration. And I'll go to the next slide there, which just shows what it looks like when they click on, for example, this is a publications one. Excuse me. It'll show the researchers' publications in our research management database. It'll say which ones are already in their ORCID profile and which ones are not, and then they can click through and choose which pubs they want to drop onto their ORCID profile. We'll go to the next slide again, and that's just similar one for funding there. And when they do that, they actually get an email notification of that update from ORCID. And I'll go to the next slide. We also did things like, this is our researcher profile pages. So basically a page advertising the researchers' strengths and their outputs, and we have the ability to click through to whatever identifiers they're using. Just a little bit of a carrot there. And I'll go to the next slide. And we're just about to go live on a research data portal. So this is a portal for researchers to archive their data sets and, when appropriate, make them publicly available. And again, we've taken an ORCID approach here to ensure we're accurately providing credit for those records. So this is just a little screenshot from that tool. And a big driver for that, if you go to the next one, is around how these records look in Research Data Australia. So that's a national portal for data sets. And it provides things like network diagrams. This is a network diagram for one of our researchers. So using an ORCID means you get really accurate representations of what our researchers are doing and who they're interacting with. And I'll go to the next slide. And so lastly, we're really pleased with where we've got to. We need to maintain that, but it's not the end. So I'll flick on one more for just some of the activities we're doing at the moment. So one is building these communications into our staff onboarding and reaching out to new researchers to encourage use of ORCIDs. We've promoting the integration of ORCID with the ARC's funding schemes, and there's been some technical issues there, but it sounds like they're all under development, and I think that's about it. I think that's my last slide, so I'll finish there with a very flying introduction to UTAS's affair with ORCID. Thanks.
Thank you, Regina. So I think somewhere in here we have the ability for people to ask questions. Brian, I'm not seeing it on the screen right now. It just could be me. I think what we're gonna do is continue to go through the slides, and then we'll have a Q&A session at the end. And I'm hoping that people other than me can actually see the control panel for GoToMeeting. We're just having a great time with technology today. Let me see if there's another place. Yeah, do you see it over there? I don't see it. Let me see if there's another place. At any rate, where is it? Go to control panel. Let's see there. There we go. Yeah, so if you can't find it, there's a control panel under window on the top under GoToMeeting pieces, and you can go over there and do that. So I can see the panel. Excellent. And if you would like to ask a question, you can ask questions in the question section there. I'm going to check and make sure and see if we have questions. Nothing yet. So please go ahead and type your questions in there as we're going along. And then if I see them, I'll bring them up. Otherwise, we'll wait till the end. All right. So Brian, why don't you go ahead and go to the next slide? And Regina, I just wanted to mention your university really pulled out all the stops in terms of engaging with researchers. And I think that's one of the big things about doing these kind of technology social change projects is you can't just put in place the technology. You really have to talk to the people who are using it and explain why it's important and valuable to them. So it was really good to see kind of you guys testing messages and then finding something that actually worked, both in terms of asking the researchers to do it, but providing them with the value at the end of the day. For example, the data that helped them interact with the ARC that help them understand, oh, this really does make sense for me to do. So what I'm going to do in this section is hopefully fairly quickly go through a little bit more about what ORCID is and how ORCID interacts with other identifiers. So Brian, why don't you go ahead and advance to the next slide. So Regina mentioned this, I'm going to mention it one more time. Why are we having challenges with research information? We have a lot of duplicate data. There's a lot of people, both researchers and administrators alike, that spend a huge amount of time curating information that's already in a database. And so what we're trying to do with ORCID is find a way to streamline that so people spend less time curating data and more time doing the parts of their job that make sense, like working on dashboards, you know, using information and to make decisions, and for researchers to actually have the time to do research and not spend all their time reporting. The other challenge with research information is poor tracking and measurement because the data just are not shared across across systems. Inefficient research networks, researchers trying to find who they can work with, network hire, et cetera, as well as bad incentives. A lot of what we measure now, not ORCID, but what the community is measuring now, are things that are easy to measure because somebody has spent a lot of time and effort over the past 50 years creating citation databases that are focused on publications. And these are really, really wonderful resources, but they only represent a small slice of researcher contributions and what it takes to innovate in the world. And so we end up having incentives that skew behavior of researchers because they are doing the activity they're measured by rather than the activity that really supports research and innovation. So all of these problems are challenges for the research community. Next slide, please. All right, and so we end up with this mess. This is a traffic jam, all kinds of, I like to think of each car as having a unique piece of information associated with it, but because the cars aren't communicating with each other, none of that information is shared and you end up with a crazy traffic jam. Next slide, please. All right, so what is ORCID? I think probably most of you on the phone know what ORCID is, but I'm gonna go through it one more time. So we do three things. No, Beck, there you go. Three things. We provide a globally unique and open identifier for researchers. We provide a way for researchers to share their identifier with organizations during their regular research workflows, and these are APIs. And we also provide a place where researchers can store and share these resulting connections between their identifier and their research activities and affiliations. So that's the database, the registry at ORCID. So next slide, please. So as I was thinking about this, I've been trying to find a good way to try to explain what ORCID does and how we interact with other systems. And I thought, well, what about the standard grocery line? So you think about the grocery line and everyone's standing there with their own basket, right? So think about these people in the line as researchers, right? And each one of them has a basket with their stuff in it. This is my affiliation, this is my publication, this is my research data set, and they all have that basket of information standing in line as they're waiting to share it, whether that is sharing it with the grant system or their university or with the publication. Next slide, please. So now here they are checking out, right? Now, if you think about it, when you're at the grocery store, every single item at the grocery store has some kind of barcode associated with it. So you can think about this, here's a basket. It's got all kinds of different stuff in it, not just papers, right? It's got all kinds of different things that that researcher has done, has contributed, has been a part of, has used as part of what their contributions are in the research community. And each one of those things, in this example, has an identifier. So that could be a DOI for a paper, that could be a DOI for a data set or for a grant, right? It could be another kind of identifier for their organization or an affiliation with a professional association. But everything that's coming down that conveyor belt has an identifier associated with it, and the person themselves has an ORCID ID. Okay, so here they are checking out, next slide please. And then they use their ORCID ID to connect the items in their basket to their account. Now, when you're at the grocery store, what your credit card gives you is a way to pay, right, for the things that you have in your basket. At ORCID, we provide an identifier that allows a researcher to say, here's my ID. I would like to connect my ID to all this stuff that I contributed, took part in, et cetera, right? And the grocery store has a way to make this connection, and at the same time, they can connect all of those connections into their inventory system. So you can almost think of that like, here's a university, collecting a person's ID and all the stuff in their basket can now get transferred, or the metadata for it can get transferred into the research repository at the university, or into the CV system at the university, or into the forum that a person uses to submit a publication. So really super easy, the researcher hands over the credit card. Next slide, please. Now, what does this mean? And so what Regina was talking about was the integrations that they've done at the university. And what we're really looking at, that I think the appropriate metaphor here is a credit card reader, right? Again, we're talking about a researcher's ID identifier, their ORCID ID, and how do they share it is through essentially an online version of a credit card reader, a place where they can log into their account, authorize sharing of information using their ORCID username and password to be able to share information. So instead of swiping a card, they use the login and password and authorization button to share the information. And all of those integrations are essentially analogous to a credit card reader in a store. Again, not tied to financial information, but tied to the contributions that a researcher has made that give them credit for what they've done in the world. That's what ORCID is. Okay, so it works in these two steps. We have researchers that register for an identifier and they use it in regular research workflows. And on the other side, we have members that are essentially creating those integrations, those places where researchers can share their identifier, and those members ingest and share information, again, using the API. And between the researchers and members, you have that database where all those connections are stored. Next slide, please. All right, so just, Brian, can you click through so the whole, there you go, just keep clicking through. So you've all seen this before. We show it every time we give a presentation, because just like in the grocery store example, this only works if all the pieces are working together. And Regina's presentation was really wonderful because it showed how the university, by bringing these different systems together, how they talk about who is affiliated with their university, but also the works and grants that that person has are all part of information at the university, as well as how those researchers with their ORCID records have been interacting with ARC. It shows how all of these pieces fit together, the employer, the university that asserts affiliation and other pieces of information into a researcher's record, how the funder can ingest that information, share it back with the researcher, and now as the researcher goes to publish a paper or upload a data set, can share that information about their affiliation and the funding sources that help support that work as they go to submit those publications. And now that publication has in it the information about the facility that the person used, the grant that the person had, the place that the person works. The researcher spends a lot less time filling out the publication form, and the publication has all that critical information in it straight from the source, from the funder, from the employer, via the person's ORCID record. That's how this works. Cooperation between different parts of the community and openness enable the transparency and information sharing. Next slide, please. All right, so this is the rest of the slides. We have now over 1,000 members of ORCID. About half of them have integrated ORCID into some kind of system on a global scale. There are over 7 million users at ORCID, and you can see some other information over there. Almost 4 ORCID IDs are created or registered for every minute. Over 193 different languages are included in ORCID records. Almost 3/4 of individuals who have a record have granted update permissions to an organization to add information to their record. And there are almost 2 record updates made per second in the registry. So certainly this is a resource that's being used, appears to be valuable in the community. And one of the things we're working on over the course of the next 12 months is providing ourselves and you more information about the value of the registry to each part of the community that uses it. Next slide, please. Okay, so how organizations and researchers benefit. Regina has already talked about it. For researchers, improving recognition, discoverability, spending a lot less time doing the paperwork, and controlling and managing an easily shareable record of the research activities and affiliations. And for researchers, this is a free resource. On the institutional side, again, we talked about the issues for research managers at the beginning of my presentation, and Regina talked about them as well, saving time and reducing errors. managing your organization's name, because you post that affiliation into the record, and also maintaining links with your researchers, past, present, and future, because you've shared information with them. Next slide, please. There's a number of studies out already with evidence of institutional value, and one of them is from Australia, is saving researchers a fair amount of time per grant application, as long as their university has engaged with their record and enabled the researcher to have the university affiliation and bring information from the university and also explain how they can get other information in the record. It really can be a major time saver as researchers are sharing information with their funder. And Jamie will talk a little bit more in his presentation about how other funders are using ORCID for this as well. Next slide, please. All right, so there's a lot of ways of getting started. I'm not going to belabor the point. I think the biggest one from the message you can get from this webinar today is that you have got to engage with researchers. You have got to explain to them why they should care. They've got a lot of stuff on their plate. ORCID is not a hard thing to do, but it is something to do. And so researchers have to understand why they should take any more of their precious time to engage with the platform. You need to explain it. You need to take the time to do it. And once you do, managing and maintaining that level of activity with your researchers becomes less and less hard because they are deriving more and more value from it. It doesn't mean you can never talk about it again, but you do need to, you won't need to spend as much effort. So that communications plan is really, really, really important. Next slide, please. All right, so there's a number of resources listed on these slides. As Brian mentioned, this is being recorded. The slides will be made available after this presentation. So you can read a little bit more about how to read about use cases and join our community and get started with your implementation using these different resources. Next slide. All right, so this is one of my favorite slides. Really what ORCID is about, we're a community effort. We love working with all of you. We're really working on trying to help everyone share their information, share their public information. We work on a global scale, and we are all about openness and transparency and trying to find ways, again, to enable sharing of information across what have largely been institutional stovepipes. So unique researcher identifiers, along with other identifiers, like I said, for each of those items on the conveyor belt at the grocery store, have the potential, and actually not just the potential, have demonstrated that they can help to streamline information sharing and bring transparency to the creation and reuse of that information, which is all a part of the whole open research effort that's going on a global scale right now. So I think that's it for me, and I'll turn this over to Jamie. Brian, why don't you go to the next slide? I think it's Jamie's first slide. There we go. And there's Jamie with a little baby sea turtle. but yes, he will be talking about ORCID and funder systems. So thank you, Jamie.
Yeah, thanks for doing that. And I put this picture up here on purpose because I think what you've heard from Regina and Lori is a bit of passion around research, right? So I love systems. I love research. It's really personal to me, right? My wife and I volunteer to save sea turtles, and we're participating in a research project that does DNA collection. And I say that to put ORCID in perspective. So we were early adopters on our platform, which is called Proposal Central. I'll take you through what that journey was with the funders, and it's all about connecting how ORCID will help with that passion for research. So Brian, will you go to the next slide for me? So what's Proposal Central? What does this look like? So we're a grants management platform. We're focused in research grants management, not grants management broadly, but in research. We have a large presence of funders in health and biomedical research. I think our account now is probably 107, 108 funders within Proposal Central. Last year, that represented around 20,000 grant applications coming through the Proposal Central platform to those 100 plus funders. And it says 28 funders require ORCID in their applications in Proposal Central. It's actually 32. I checked today's to see what the latest numbers are. So this is required, as Regina emphasized in her presentation, adjusting the message and continuous pressure from me to help the funders in Proposal Central understand what the benefit was going to be downstream, and also how we would encourage the researchers to use ORCID through this process to get to the point where right now, collectively in Proposal Central, we're running about 50% of the applicants, the researchers who are applying through Proposal Central, have an ORCID ID connected in Proposal Central. So strong adoption among the funders, about a third of them, and my goal is 100%, not quite as good as Regina, where I'd like to get to 90%. If I did that, I think I'd shot the moon, you know. But we're at 50% of the applicants, and you know, I'd like to get that number up too. So let me tell you how we're working on that. So let's go to the next slide. So when we talk to funders about ORCID, the first response we get is, so what? It's an identifier. Okay, so what? There's been lots of identifiers. We've worked on that message now, right? What they need is to understand impact. So that's me with the St. Baldrick's shirt on. I'm bald. I'm bald because we use that as a technique to raise money for childhood cancer research. The guy next to me is a cancer researcher at a local university here. What do we care? What has been accomplished in cancer research to save the lives of kids? That's what I care about. That's why I raise money. So we've got to use ORCID to demonstrate impact. So we're working on what are those kinds of things we can use ORCID for. And it really resonated with me when you heard both Regina and Lori talk about connections. So if you go to the next slide, you talk about a connection that funders tell us is really hard for them. And maybe this is hard for you. It's hard for institutions too, right? That is, what is the impact that a researcher has had at some point, right? So as a funder, what I'm looking at is, if I provide a grant early in the career of a researcher, did they continue on to publish and grow? So the red line that you see after that initial grant to the researcher is the number of publications they've done. The yellow bars represent the other funding that they've got. So what we help the researcher do is extract the data from their ORCID record into Proposal Central, and then we put it on this analysis platform for our funder, so the funder can see, here's where the grant is that I gave to this researcher on their career path, and I can look before the grant and I can look after the grant. What does that require? That requires a persistent connection to that researcher, because once that grant is done, how do I get the information from them about what they've continued to do in the industry? So ORCID gives us a way to do that. So once I have that connection, I can help that funder by updating the information that we have about that researcher and showing them, here's the publications, here's the research grants that they've done. So for career-oriented programs, we're finding this really resonates with funding organizations, because they have been doing this manually, and it takes a tremendous amount of effort to do it. And we're able to pull this together on a dashboard in real time for any of their researchers. So what do I do with this next? So Brian, if you'll advance to the next slide. Now, if I take that for all of the researchers under grant programs that have run for a really long period of time, I can put that first grant at time zero, that's where the red bar is. And I can see what the researchers were doing before, and I can see what they've been doing after. And that tells me not just the impact on a single researcher, but what has this a program accomplished with a large group of researchers. So this is something for funders that has really resonated for them, because then they can communicate to donors, to their boards, how these funds are impacting the careers of the researchers. So let's go to the next slide. So this one is about the connections on a research topic. And so, you know, I've just got a really simple example on here with a search term called breast cancer. We're searching in this particular example, 500 million records, something like that, in publication databases, patent databases, grant databases of this funder and other public sources, right? And what we're doing is we're plotting on a timeline on the bottom the progression of knowledge about a certain domain. And the connections here are between publications and grants and clinical trials and then patents, right? So what we've used this with our client to do is establish the contributions that their grants have had in the development of the of new therapies that were recognized in the U.S. by the Food and Drug Administration, right, as approved therapies for things like infectious disease or HIV or flu. That those therapies, then they can trace back to the origin and they can follow that through to the individual researchers, the grants that they were given, and then eventually the clinical trials that resulted in proving out that therapy. And so we're using ORCID to help us make the connections across all these data sets, which we can plot on a timeline and help them look and research specific topic areas that are important in where they're working. So let's go to the next slide. So what did it take to do this? The first step in doing this, which I think you've heard from both Regina and Lori, is make this valuable to the researchers, because if they don't use this, it's worthless, right? So the first step we took was single sign-on. This is simple. It's a no-brainer. I mean, everybody's creating login with Facebook and Google and stuff like that. Well, we just put single sign-on with ORCID. That connects their record. It pre-populates a profile. So if they're brand new to Proposal Central, instead of having to go through all the steps to fill out a profile, we're just pulling the data from their working record. When they do that, they only have to remember that one password. So we extend that reuse idea into the second part of this slide, which is one of the main things our funders ask their awardees to do is to tell them what publications resulted from the grant that they gave. That allows us to make that connection between, I funded this research, here's the new development of knowledge that came out in those publications, then those publications get linked to more publications, right? So the first point for the funder is, when I gave an award, connect me to all the publications that were a result of this award I did. And when we do that, the way they used to have to do this is type that data in. Terrible mistakes in the data, things like that, right? So what we do right now is they're pulling this from ORCID into Proposal Central, and then they're just selecting the items that were the result of the grant on this on this progress report list. Very easy, fast for them to do. We also do this in the application, not quite as important to the funders, important to the researcher, right, in terms of ease of use, but for the funders, this is easy for the researcher, and it gives the funder a lot of data about the impact of this particular grant, both from the knowledge development and from the researcher's impact. And then the last step in this is we tell the researchers, look, we're going to push this award back into your record so you don't have to worry about keeping that current, right? So that was the third incentive to the researchers. You connect your ORCID ID, we're going to automatically update this for you. So content automation is a really important part of what Lori and her team are doing with ORCID, that is helping connect this to all these other systems, means that the content gets automatically updated. So if you go to the next slide, what that means to us, for the funder community that we're supporting, is that where we used to have this lack of data at the end of the grant, now with a persistent connection and the automation of the content, we're able to look past the end of the grant and find out what our impact has been in a community of research. So let's go to the next slide. So this gives us a researcher's career perspective. We've seen some of this. So I can see on this slide, the light blue bars are my relationship with the with that grantee in terms of the grants. The dark blue bars are the other grants that they've gotten, and then the green line are publications, and we can see which ones are new. And we're extracting all of this data from Orkin with that connection rather than typing it in manually. So if you go to the next slide, this is giving us the career perspective. And I think one of the most important things to us is we know that in Proposal Central, the picture that we're giving the funders is better than they have today, but it's still incomplete, and content is the key, right? So our theme, the message we're working with the funders that have adopted Orkin, right, is the ID is not enough. What we need to do is help communicate to the researchers how we're using the content, how using that content is valuable in getting more funding to fund the research that they're applying for and getting awards. And so we're working on communication messages in each of the individual research communities, and the funders are really strong in terms of being able to encourage that development. So it's a really key thing. But, you know, Lori and I are also going to these big conferences with research institutions and talking to them about how that same content is valuable in the research institutions. So funders and institutions have the same desire for this content from a different perspective. And so the more we can encourage the use of this ORCID ID in lots of systems, the stronger the incentive is for the researcher to keep that content current in there. And so we're using a lot to teach them how the tools in ORCID are there to make that automatic. Next slide. So I think we can go on to the next one. So I think sometimes, you know, people ask, well, what can I do, right? So getting the ORCID ID is the first step. The second step is how to encourage them to get content in there. And there's a lot of tools out there to help bulk load that. And they're all on the ORCID site. And so I think Regina showed, hey, here's the really good steps. We can give them clear communication about how easy this is to get content in there. And I think the strength of connecting the researcher offices with the libraries who are interested in content, making that connection stronger also helps encourage the development of that content. So making sure that the librarians and the research administration groups are talking to each other and finding out how to encourage that, and getting ORCID embedded into your institutional systems builds the content that you can use to demonstrate impact. And that will help the funders that you work with demonstrate their impact, and it's a beneficial circle. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Jamie. So yep. I'm looking up here. I don't see questions in the question sections or chat, but this is the perfect time to ask questions. If you have questions, there are two people on this call, Jamie and Regina, who have a huge amount of personal experience working directly with researchers, working directly in systems. And it's a really great time to ask questions if you'd like to do that. I know we don't have a whole lot of time left. We started late, but there are about 48 of you on the call, and we'd love to answer questions if you have any. So I'm gonna hang on and wait. See if anyone typed something in. It's over in the GoToWebinar control panel. If you open it up, there is a section that says chat and a question that says questions, and you can type anything in there. Just send it to everyone. In the meantime, Regina, I would really be interested to hear a little bit more about why or how the university realized they needed to change how you were interacting with researchers. Kind of what conversations did you have internally? Or did you have something in place to kind of measure impact and then, oh, wait, this isn't working, I need to go back? I'd really be interested in hearing your comments on how that happened.
So I wasn't there at the time, but my understanding is, so basically we had the data we were getting through our ORCID membership, so we could basically see how much uptake we were getting, and we were tracking our percentage. And we had a full communications plan, and the DVCR, I think we were reporting to her almost weekly. And we were tracking who was showing up at various things. So it was clear pretty quickly that the indirect approach wasn't going to work. But as soon as we started kind of knocking on doors and giving the sales pitch and really showing people the importance, it was really a no-brainer for most researchers. They get it. And I often use my surname as an example and sort of say, you know, it's fine if you've got my surname. But, you know, if you're Stephen Smith or whatever, you know, how on earth do you expect an algorithm to separate you from all the other Stephen Smiths in the world, that kind of thing? So it was pretty straightforward once, you had your foot in the door, if you like.
Yeah. Great. Thank you. Jamie, what kind of work has Altum and Proposal Central done to interact with researchers? I know you talked about putting in single sign-on, but have you done kind of communication campaigns where you're sending or interacting with researchers in a different way during their use of Proposal Central? Or are you talking to the funding organizations or their research managers? How do you think researchers are finding value? Or is it just, hey, it's single sign-on and this is easy?
Yeah, so I think we had some early adopters among the funder community that knew right from the beginning that collecting an ID that would separate out the Steve Smiths was a really good idea, but they weren't sure about all the rest. And so we got started on the, hey, let's put this ORCID ID on. And you know, some researchers had it, and maybe that was a couple of years ago. And I think you were at maybe 3 million IDs or something like that. And the number of IDs exploded, right? And so we saw the connections with the data and started working with the funders because what we figured was if we can convince the funders that it's a good idea, then the researchers are going to do what they ask, you know, because it's a grant application and I need the money. So they'll do what it said. Regina mentioned, hey, when the ARC said, hey, we're going to require this ORCID ID, that was, hey, you know, here's the light bulb, right? We probably ought to do this. You know, we had the early adopters, so the ones that required it early on, all of their researchers got ORCID IDs. And then we used that example with some other clients. So we were able to show some how we were using that data. Mm-hmm. And then we started messaging the research community directly. Hey, here's why we're asking for this. You know, more funders are adopting this. And we have a blog post that we run that people are on. We post it on the main login page for our funding platform, which, like I said, we've got 400,000 users and 20,000 applications a year. A lot of people see that message. So we're trying to make sure that the researchers know that the benefit is there for them in pulling the data.
Got it. All right, I don't see any questions in the questions section, and we are up at the top of the hour. So I wanted to thank all of the people on the call for joining us. And as Brian mentioned, we will have a recording of the session and the slides available shortly after. I really heartfelt thanks to both Regina and Jamie for joining us. I know, Jamie, you're late night along with me. And Regina, just the story from the University of Tasmania is really, really, I find it very compelling. So thank you for pulling it together and joining us today here to share the story. And Brian, I didn't really introduce Brian at the beginning, I apologize. Brian is our regional engagement person in Asia Pacific, and in particular works with Australia and New Zealand. And we have two other people, Camelia and Estelle, I believe, who are also on the call, who are also our ORCID representatives in the Asia Pacific region. So thank all three of you for arranging for this webinar and for supporting ORCID adoption in the region. Thanks, everyone. Have a really good day, and we'll talk to you all again soon.
Thank you.